Okay, for this homily, I need a volunteer. You don't have to do much. You can stay where you are. I need a volunteer. Yes, there we go. Thank you. Okay, so I came up with two homilies, and I couldn't decide which one to give. So you get to pick, just do one or two. That's all I need, is a one or a two. Just hold up. Two. Okay. You picked the 20-minute one. Sorry. One of the scariest prayers we can say is, "Thy will be done. Thy will be done." Today we hear the Lord's Prayer from the Gospel of Luke, which actually doesn't have that in the Lord's Prayer, but the one from the Gospel of Matthew has, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done. Thy will be done." Even today I was praying, and I caught myself saying to God these things that I wanted, something in my life that I wanted, and the thought of saying, "But thy will be done," was a very scary prospect, right? Think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Remember, he's praying there right before he's about to die, and he says, "Lord, let this cup pass from me. Not my will, but thy will be done." Very often we think in our heads that our prayer with God is about convincing him of something, that if I just ask hard enough, that I can convince God to come around to my way of thinking. And then if he doesn't, then we get mad at him, like, "I wanted a Lamborghini, and you didn't give me a Lamborghini. How could you? I thought you were a good God." In the gospel today, we hear over and over about how good God is to us, that if you knock at a person's house in the middle of the night, he'll give you what you ask for, even just because to get you out of the door. How much more so will God give you the good things that you ask for? Then he says, "Knock and the door will be opened. Seek and you will find." And then he says, if you ask for an egg, he's not going to give you a scorpion, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So even a wicked guy, even a bad father, would not do those things to hurt their children. How much more so does God give us the good things that we ask for? And so we leave this Mass empowered to ask all sorts of great things from God, like, "God, give me this thing. Give me a promotion, God. This is great. You said you're going to give good things." And why does God not answer our prayers? Well, it's even harder when we think about things that we know are good, things that God wants, right? Like, pray for my, you know, brother or son or daughter or whoever that has cancer. Pray for this person who left the faith, and I want them to come back to the faith. In those prayers, God doesn't answer sometimes in the way we think of either. And that's, honestly, for me, that's the hardest ones. When you know the end that you're seeking is good, and yet you ask God, and what you ask for doesn't happen. But prayer isn't at all about convincing God to come around to your way of thinking. Instead, prayer is about making ourselves come around to God's way of thinking. We hear in the scriptures, "So far are my ways above your ways. As far as the heavens are above the earth, are my ways above your ways, are my thoughts above your thoughts." God's way of thinking is so different than ours. Now, there's some similarity, but we see like this. We see tunnel vision. We can't see very much. We can't even see very much in our own lives. God sees all time and all places equally, that he knows all things, and he's equally invested in everything around him. It's not as if, you know, sometimes you hear in like popular culture, like, "Well, if you're not too busy, God." It's not that at all. It's he knows how to work things out. And also, he's given us free will, which means that we can make our own choices, and for better or for worse, he respects that. But when we pray, I think so often our prayers are just about petitions, like, "Hey, God, okay, I need this, 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 this person needs help, and then help me do this. Okay, see ya." And then we just go on, we kind of like send our list to Santa Claus in the mail, and you hope that on Christmas Day that everything comes out right. But that's not what prayer is at all. Think of, again, Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane saying, "Here is where I'm at right now. God, show me where you're at." So it is important when we go to God to be honest, to say, "I'm in a bad mood today. Everyone's been mean to me. I've been mean to everyone else." You know, you could pray, like we hear in the first reading of Sodom and Gomorrah, "Rain down hellfire on my neighbors because they are really making me mad today. Just destroy their house, kill them, and that would be mad." So that would actually be a good prayer at the beginning of your prayer to say, "This is how I'm feeling. I want to destroy people, okay, God?" Which is much better than, "Oh, God, I love everyone." You can't start from there. You can't start at a place of dishonesty. The first stage is to tell God where you're at. But then you can't skip the next stage, which is to listen to God and see where he's at with the situation. He has an answer for you. He has a solution, but you have to give him an opportunity to listen to him. And so you present the situation, you present your feelings, and then you take a step back and in silence just to think, what is God doing in this situation right now? And where does God want me to take this situation? Maybe it's not going to be solved. Maybe because that person has free will, it's not going to be solved. But he's going to reveal to me how he's acting in this situation and how I should act in this situation. And maybe the main thing of your prayer that day is just giving him that difficult situation. Maybe that's all you needed was just to tell someone. And who better to tell than God? And then he can bring peace to your heart and say, okay, I can bear this. I can make it through this. But if we don't do that, we can even be prayerful people, but we never allow the real fruits of prayer to affect us. God will give us all and only good things if we ask. That's definitely the message of the gospel. The main problem, though, is we don't know what those good things are. I'm not saying don't pray for anything. I pray that the White Sox beat the Twins today. You can pray for that. It's fine. Especially in that case, it's fine. But it doesn't mean that if the Twins, heaven forbid, win, that, you know, God didn't answer my prayer and he's mad at me. What it means is I didn't understand his will, and there's free will involved. We can pray for whatever we want. But more importantly, we're supposed to understand what is God trying to do in this situation. It's not about giving him a laundry list, a to-do list. Here, dear, you know, get all these things covered. It's about, God, what are you trying to do with me? What are you trying to do with the people around me? And help me to reestablish, most importantly, because he's a person, we want a relationship with him, to reestablish that relationship. Because if that relationship is established, which we do by prayer, then everything else fits in the context of that relationship. If that relationship's off, then everything that gets askew, and we get worked up and bent out of shape about different things. So today in your prayer, and forever in your prayer, make sure you give God a little chance to talk to you. It is scary. I'm honest. It's scary to say, God, thy will be done. Okay, that's enough. Because you don't know, oh, darn it, he's going to take everything I love away. He's going to ruin my life just because that's what God does. But if you pray regularly and you can see with God's eyes, you realize, no, that's why we have the gift of faith. Another word for faith is trust. God, I trust you. I trust you that only good things will come out of this situation. Maybe the good things aren't in the short term. Maybe it's in the long term. But as hard as it is to say, God, thy will be done.